It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. This program is, of course, live. It's always live, almost always live. If it's a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, or a Friday, it's almost always live. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. This is the 25th day of July, 2017. If you'd like to be part of the ongoing merriment, the madcap, zany, wacky, real-time conversation that takes place during the live hours of the program, head on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will immediately be met and greeted, joyfully even, by the likes of Hoghead and Jug of Punch and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and P.T. Blom and not quite so long time recently, added in as full week. Chat room moderator, utility moderator, horn supporter, great guy all around, Steve from Georgia Stan. All of them will make you welcome. So there we go. That's part of it. There'll be more in the room later. We don't stand on ceremony. We don't ring a bell or have tardy punishment or make anybody stay after class if they're not in the chat room immediately at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. No, we don't. So hop on by. The conversation's fine. You'll have fun. Yeah, the only people who shouldn't hop on by to the chat room are, you know, assholes. Like old Brain. Brain's still emailing. He's not getting any more free publicity, though. So sorry. Just no more. But Steve from Georgia Stan, having recently made it from Padawan to Jedi, has an itchy lightsaber finger, and he will zap your right-wing ass right out of the chat room before you have a chance to say, Libtard! So just know that, okay? Yeah. Of course, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. There, let's see. Just going through the checklist here. And that's out of the way. So, I will remind you, this is a listener-supported program. We are rushing toward the end of the month of July, and hoping to finish it out so that we will be completely on track, and we'll have licked the Lithuanian and nudged the Norsky. Also, a reminder, absolutely a reminder, courtesy of our buddy Scott, there is an offer on the table. The offer on the table is for what's being what our buddy Scott, formerly the originator of the Beat the Swede Challenge, is calling the Send Bob to the Chirping Birds Basket Weaving Funny Farm for a Week Challenge. Scott is putting up an entire week of horn funding as a challenge offering to double it if people, you know, well, not he's not going to double what he's doing. He's going to double a week's worth of fundraising if people will meet that challenge. So please remember that as we go forward through this week. Fundraising goal for this evening, thanks to Joy and our subscribers, is $195. $195, and that's a good thing because it would have been $240 without them. Mm-hmm. It does leave a sort of it leaves $5 sort of hanging out there, so it takes a little too much. My head starts hurting from the ciphering. That's all I'm saying. My head starts hurting, so I'm not going to. I'm not going to try to do the. Well, okay, we can do the. Can we? Yeah. 10 at $19.50, or 19.5 people at $10. But that's what it. That's what it takes to keep on track. Of course, if we got out in front a little bit, that would be mighty nice too. But that's where we are. That's where we are. If you want to help out, you know, the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. If you would like to become one of that rare, rare group of Horn subscribers, well, you can click that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation, and you'll be part of the Set It and Forget It gang. If you do that, well, then it'll just come out on the same day every month. And for this particular month, yeah, we've got two folks at $10 a piece. That means we would 11 more, and we need 13 $10 a month subscribers every day of the month. And no, Silent R. Lamar. Calculators is cheating. There will be no calculators here. But anyway, that's where it stands. If we, you know, one of these days. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, I every evening I give out the address, the mailing address, because Boss Man Wayne loves to get mail. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. If you'll let me know in advance, I'll tell Boss Man Wayne, and he can, he can put an extra shine on the axe handle when he goes in to pick up the mail in case, you know, he runs into the Grand Kleagle Cyclops Wizard Dragon. Because remember, the Klan also gets their mail at the same UPS store location because, well, who wouldn't want to do business with a domestic terror organization? All right, so that's all out of the way now. Only took 8 minutes of the program. And now we can get down to business. And if business is what we're calling it. We had the business done. We got the business today. Oh, yeah. By now, you know the news. This is one of those days that we're going to talk about what everybody else has been talking about all day long. Mm-hmm. John McCain. Maverick John McCain. Who talks and talks and talks and talks. And deplores and decries things that other Republicans do. And then goes right along with them. John McCain got special permission from his Brames surgeon. And flew all the way across the country so he could be in Washington, D.C. today to cast a vote that will ultimately take health care away from millions of people and consign thousands of those people to death. They had a motion to proceed in the Senate today on health care. No one was allowed to know what it was they were voting on. They were just voting to proceed. It is as if the Republicans were sitting in a rowboat on a sea of gasoline, and they voted to strike a match. They didn't know necessarily what would happen when they did, but they voted to proceed. Yeah. Homicide is now an actual tool of domestic public policy for the Republican Party in the United States of America. Interesting, isn't it? They don't want people voting. They try to suppress the vote. They try to discourage the vote. And the ones they can't suppress or discourage, they'll take a run at, you know, killing. How about that? But I will go so far as to remind us all that just because the Republican Party has declared that homicide is a tool of domestic public policy for it, that we do not abandon our principles of nonviolence. We do not throw away the good and honorable teachings of Gandhi and Dr. King just because the Republicans decide to go on a killing spree. Because make no mistake, that is exactly what they have done. I will brook no bullshit about, well, that's not very civil. I'm interested in factual, not salving the egos of some pathological monstrosities who happen to control a thin majority in the Senate. And yes, people will die because of what they're doing. But I would also remind us all that it's not okay. You have no right, okay? If you're within the sound of my voice, even if you're not, this is an absolutely factual statement. You have no right to defend yourself against the Republican Party. Senators, members of the House of Representatives, what have you, you have absolutely no right to defend yourself against them. They have declared a death lottery. It could be you, it could be me, it could be you and me, it could be several thousands of us. And the only thing you can do about it is vote. And you're going to have to wait a while to do that. Not until November, primaries, whatever. But not until November 2018. That's when you get to vote. You'll get to vote again in 2020, in 2022. In 2018, there is, I will remind you, a slim chance, razor thin, to take back the House of Representatives. On the other hand, the chance of taking back the United States Senate is approaching concepts of zeroness that mathematics itself has a hard time expressing. Although, to be fair, there are some places where voters may find themselves with an opportunity to vent a little bit of justice, a little bit of self-defense. Yeah. Nevada, for instance. Dean Heller, who until recently was held up as a vaunted defender of the rights of people to go to the doctor when they're sick, well, he got to sit next to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini a couple of days ago when Trump said, and I'm sure Dean Heller wants to keep his seat in Nevada. And so, lo and behold, how about that? Dean Heller went from a no to a yes today. In announcing that he would vote to kill several thousands of Americans, Dean Heller said the following earlier today. Obamacare isn't the answer, but doing nothing to try to solve the problems it has created isn't the answer either. That is why I will vote to move forward and give us a chance to address the unworkable aspects of the law that have left many Nevadans, particularly those living in rural areas, you know, like the Bundys. They live in rural Nevada, don't they? Yes, they do. With dwindling or no choices, whether it's my ideas to protect Nevadans who depend on Medicaid or the Graham Cassidy proposal that empowers states and repeals the individual employer mandates, there are common sense solutions that could improve our health care system, and today's vote gives us the opportunity to fight for them. If the final product isn't improved for the state of Nevada, then I will not vote for it. If it is improved, I will support it. In other words, I'm a fuck you. Yeah, y'all voted for me, you dumbasses. And now I'm going to stick it to you high and dry. Uh-huh. Squeal like a pig. Yeah. Sure do got a pretty mouth. It's that first sentence that gives you the real tell, seeing as how he comes from the state with Las Vegas in it. That's the tell. Obamacare isn't the answer, but doing nothing to try to solve the problems it has created isn't the answer either. It's also not the truth. Obamacare, or as it is actually known, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, is, according to all reliable sources, working quite well. Thank you very much. What's not working is the fact that Republicans despise it. Do they despise it because it's a terrible, terrible idea filled with socialist commie notions? No. In point of fact, the Affordable Care Act is a brainchild of the Heritage Foundation on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington, D.C. It was a Republican idea that Barack Obama handed, basically handed to the House and Senate and said, yeah, let's try this. The Republicans like it so much. And lo and behold, the goddamn thing passed. But see, it passed during the tenure of a Negro Democrat president. And that made it abso-goddamn-lutely intolerable to the good, God-fearing, white, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-metalist, ammo-sexual Christian Republicans, because anything that the Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House did made it automatically tainted by the one-drop rule, which they, incidentally, still follow. See how it works? Yeah. So it's possible. I would not at this point in time say likely, but it is possible that voters in Nevada might be able to remove Dean Heller from his job in the Senate and replace him with someone who doesn't have homicidal urges toward his own constituents. Possible, not probable. Okay? So we got that. Yeah. Now, there's another problem in what happened today. It took a lot of arm twisting to get to 50 votes so that Mike Pencilneck Geek could come in and cast the tie-breaking 51st as serving in his vice presidential role as president of the Senate. Because that's what happened today. It was 50 to 50. And Mike Pencilneck Geek came in and cast the 51st vote. The 51st vote to send several thousands of Americans shambling toward a grim and dusty death. Because, you know, he's a Christian. Mike Pencilneck Geek is. And people can suffer. Just like the Savior did. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. Good for him. You betcha. John McCain did his thing, and Dean Heller did his thing, but they still needed one more vote. Remember yesterday how I told you about a radio interview that Texas representing Blake Fernholt gave to a guy named Bob Jones at a Corpus Christi radio station last Friday? The one where he said, some of the people that are opposed to this, there are some female senators from the Northeast. If it was a guy from South Texas, I might ask him to step outside and settle this Aaron Burr style. In other words, this Republican member of the House of Representatives stated a desire to shoot female senators, to wit, Shelley Moore Capito and Susan Collins. I presume he meant Lisa Murkowski, too, but Lisa Murkowski's not from the Northeast. She is from what must be considered the ultimate in being from the Northwest, you know, Alaska. But he said Northeast, and we'll take him at his word. Apparently word got back to Shelley Moore Capito, and it caused her a great deal of consternation and fear. Because in addition to the terribly, terribly, terribly dramatic vision of John McCain shambling into the Senate chambers, I watched to a great huzzah of cheering. I noticed I had to up the screen resolution, but I did see Precious Lindsey Graham pull a little lace hanky out of his cuff and dab at his eyes as he saw his hero, John McCain, re-enter the Senate chamber so as to cast an important vote to kill several thousand American people. I done seen it with my own eyes. He would have gone a-running to him, but it was terrible, terrible crowded there in the Senate chambers, and they were just a-clapping and a-cheering and a-roaring and a-huzzahing. Yes, they were. After he voted to kill several thousand American people, John McCain gave a speech talking about returning to regular order and such bullshit. Ever the eternal optimist, Scott in San Diego, with little Punky and the Cockatiel and Chocolate Chips the Rescue Cat, who celebrates 2 years as a member of the family today. Scott says, I liked much of what McCain said, though it was a message that was somewhat late in being delivered. That and those whose ears and skulls the message most needs to penetrate won't care to listen or to heed his good counsel. Then there's the part about McCain contemplating his mortality with his ever-nearing end now having discernible features that are coming into stark focus for him. Scott says, what's your take, Bob? Well, I'm not going to sit. I'm going to stand on what I previously said. I'm not going to celebrate his illness. I'm going to save that for people who really deserve it. Like, as previously noted, Dick Cheney, Donald Trump, the real nasties. John McCain is just a little pissant quisling. Always has been, always will be. He showed atrocious judgment when he ran for president in 2008 by selecting Caribou Barbie, Godzilla from Wasilla, Sarah Palin, as his running mate. He has talked a good game all his career, and has barely, if ever, done anything of substance, short of getting caught up in the Keating Five scandal during the savings and loan debacle. I don't care what a man says. His actions are what matter. And in voting to proceed on a bill that he had not even seen or read, John McCain proved again, once again, that the real motto that he operates by is party first. Plain and simple. He will do what he is told. That's all. This, of course, is not the hallmark of a great statesman. But even John McCain's vote couldn't have gotten the job done without one more person. Just one more member of the United States Senate. Just one. Only one. Hey, America. You know how you spent all those decades, even centuries, laughing at the stupid hillbillies? You know, the incest jokes and the feuding jokes and the stupidity jokes and the barefoot jokes and the ignorance jokes.
Well, the hillbillies fucked back today. They sure did. Because that one last remaining vote that was needed, that was desperately necessary to take it to 50 so that Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek could break the tie. That one person was Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia. During the whole kabuki theater of the Senate's health care wrangling, in which she protested so loudly that she could not vote for something that would not be good for West Virginians. You know, we're a state that has a third of the population on Medicaid. It was all just theatrical bullshit. Because Shelley Moore Capito today proudly did what she has been bought and paid for to do. She voted with Mitch McConnell. She voted with Donald Trump to begin a process that will take health care away from millions of Americans and kill several thousand of them, a disproportionate number of whom may very well be her own constituents. That's what she did. And she could never have done it if the people of the state of West Virginia had not sent her there to do it. Even her nasty old crooked daddy, Arch Moore, was so crooked they had to screw him into the dirt to bury him. Arch Moore, when he was a Republican in Congress, actually voted with the Democrats to create Medicare. Now he went on to turn into a grift-infused creep who would steal anything that wasn't nailed to the floor and take a pry bar to some that was. But it was Shelley Moore Capito changing her vote that finished the job. She's not even up for re-election in 2018. She doesn't come around till 2018. I mean, she's not up in 2018. She doesn't come around till 2020. Sorry, I think I'm stuck a couple of years in the past. The chronosynclastic infundibulum just kicked in. Yeah. Shelley Moore, because, well, the hillbillies, we send people to Congress who do that kind of thing these days. But guess what? Joe Manchin voted the right way. Son of a bitch, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. Joe Manchin voted the right way, guaranteeing his renomination as the Democratic candidate for Senate from West Virginia in 2018. He'll put that along beside the fact that he saved the miners' health care. And so, you know, anybody who sends $5, $10, $15 to Paula Jean 18, save yourself the stamp and just walk out in the yard and set fire to it. Okay? As Carol Baker points out, when Ted Kennedy was dying of brain cancer, he dragged his tired body to the floor of the Senate to make sure people had health care. John McCain drags his body to the floor to take it away. Here's a little thought experiment. If the only people benefiting from the Affordable Care Act had been white people, do you think the Republicans would have been so eager to take it away? If Bob Dole had won the presidency in 1996, and the Republican Congress had then, and I think a Democratic Senate at the time, maybe by one vote, had then passed the Heritage Foundation insurance plan, which would go on to become the Affordable Care Act, and Bob Dole had signed it into law, do you think the Republicans would have been hopping up and down furious to repeal it? Yeah, me neither. Thereby proving that there is one essential factor in this that brings us to where we are. And where we are is a matter of watching and waiting to see what the Republicans will do, because what the Democrats do does not matter. And after all, they're not ideologically pure enough anyway. There will be some sort of the process can get rather Byzantine. This was a motion to proceed. So now there will be a series of amendments and a bill and a bunch of blathering and stuff that has not been scored by the Congressional Budget Office. And then we will wind up with some sort of bill passing. They may not... Look, the simplest thing to do remains, if the Republicans are truly committed to this, the simplest thing to do remains the passage of a single-sentence bill. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare, contained at, and you give the code site, be and is hereby repealed. They probably won't do that, although there are some who would like to. What they'll probably do, I saw some talk earlier today, is pass a skinny repeal, what they're calling skinny repeal. Yeah, whatever that means. It sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it? Well, there's our answer from Silent R. Lamar. Oh, come on, Bob. If white people were the only ones with the Affordable Care Act, the answer's hell no. Exactly. That's why it's a thought experiment. Skinny repeal means getting rid of the employer mandate, the individual mandate, and a few other things. You know, you've played Jenga, right? Just pulling out enough of the little sticks to make the whole thing fall to pieces. That way, the marmalade Mugabe can stand there and say, see, I told you Obamacare was dying. Now it's dead. It's dead. Here, let's kick it while it's dead. Look, I'm going to stick a knife in it. Yeah, Obamacare is definitely dead. much further down the road, and they'll actually use an effigy of Barack Obama to represent the death of Obamacare. Sister Carol Baker shares a quote with us. "We are not the president's subordinates. We are his equals," John McCain. Carol notes, "Not today, John. Not today. No, no, today the Republicans in the Senate proved themselves to be a bunch of spineless, lily-livered, servile, toe-sucking, lick-spittle creatures." Of Donald Trump. Wait a minute. Okay. David in South Carolina. Yeah, you get a jingle for that. Skinny repeal to match those acid-washed emails. Yeah. Right. I want to go back to, I want to do a little time travel real quick. I want to go back to Friday. And the program is Washington Watch. That's the weird little broadcast by the Family Research Council run by Tony
Norman?
Yes, Mother Bates. Perkins. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Representing Brian Babin from Texas, a Republican, of course. Hey, you know, I don't know, Carol. Carol asks, are acid-washed emails as comfortable as the relaxed fit emails? You know, when they're acid-washed, they don't have as much stretch in them. And they tend to be a little thinner, and being as how they're skinny, they're snug. And I don't know about you, but I just, you know, I don't care for them. But representing Brian Babin, a Republican from Texas, showed up on Washington Watch to complain about the Affordable Care Act. And see, that's just a question in medias res. Did the members of the for-profit media really fall for all of this? Because if you've been listening to this program for the last few months, you know that we didn't. You didn't and I didn't. We knew what their ultimate goal was. But the people that the for-profit media make multimillionaires for standing in front of a camera apparently did. Or so they would have us believe. I saw one guy from Axios being interviewed today who said, you know, we thought this was all over and done with. We thought they couldn't get anything done. And then all of a sudden on Sunday it came back to life and I was surprised. And I thought, God damn you, simple soul, you. I bet you're surprised when you wind up outside the circus after you pay to go see the egress, too, aren't you? Look, there's no trick to prophecy. There's no trick to predicting what's going to happen. All you have to do is pay attention to Republicans, pay attention to what they say, take them at their word, and then ask the question, what is the worst, most vicious thing they can possibly do? And boom, you're a prophet. Clarence points out with regard to Shelley Moore Capito, Bob, the senator, hitched a ride on Air Force One with the clown in chief to the Boy Scout rally. I wonder what was promised to her on that flight. You know what was promised to her? Vote the way we want you to, and we won't open this here hatch and throw your happy ass out. That's how fascist regimes do it, Clarence. Want to stay in the plane? You can stay in the plane. Or you can go skydiving over Beaver. You can land face first in Beaver. What's it going to be, Shell? Yeah. And so back to representing Babin. Let's check in from a couple of days back and just see. See what he had to say about the health care needs and the health insurance needs of the American people.
But the sad reality is that we've had a taste of socialized medicine. Government knows best. And even some of our Republicans are reluctant to turn the clock back a little bit on this.
Wait, okay. So I'll let him get all the way through there. But did you catch that? Did you catch that line? So we've had a taste of socialized medicine? Where? When? Socialized medicine is a program that provides massive infusions of corporate welfare cash for health insurance companies? That's socialized? Well, maybe it's socialism for the health insurance companies, but it's sure as shit not socialism for you and me. But I return to our little thought experiment. If this had been, if the same health care plan had been passed by the Republicans and President Dole, it'd still be on the same book. It'd still be on the books. And nary a peep would have been uttered against it. Just saying.
And they are, you know, I don't know what I can say except that we've got to give the American people what they voted for. Overwhelmingly, the American people want to get rid of this thing. I'm sick and tired of listening to Democrats say, don't get rid of it, just reform it and fix it. This is after they lied and used disingenuous methods to ram this down our throats. Not one Republican voted for it. Overwhelmingly, the American people were against this, you know, back 7.5 years ago. And it needs to be repealed and replaced. And so failure is not an option. I think my colleagues in the Senate need to get together and let's get something that we can offer the American people to get them freedom and choice. And why should a 25 or 30-year-old man have to have maternity insurance? Why should every policy have a drug rehab clause in it and coverage in it?
Yeah, I mean, why should a 30-year-old man have maternity coverage? I mean, no 30-year-old man worth his salt that representing Babin knows is ever going to put his Schwanstucker in the hoo-hoo of a woman and make a baby or nothing. And she won't have health insurance of her own because she'll be staying home like a good little Republican barefoot pregnant wife should now, won't she? Now, why should he have to have maternity insurance? God bless America. That's been one of their steady little talking points, that the Affordable Care Act makes people carry useless coverage. Oh, by the way, did I mention? Yes, of course. Representing Brian Babin, he's a proud pro-life Republican who opposes maternity insurance.
These are just government knows best insurance regs that make the prices go up. So we've got to give them some choices here.
Baby, you think prices go up under? Wait till you see what's coming next. Oh, and by the way, they'll be coming after your VA benefits soon, too, vets. Just wanted to make sure you knew that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. because really, they will. But representing Babin wasn't done. You know why we've got the health care problems we have? Because people are living sinful lives. And it's those people out there who don't make wise decisions about whether or not to have the diabetes. People who don't make wise decisions about whether or not to get, brain cancer. That's where the problem lies.
You know, if you've got a government that's going to force you to buy a private product like health insurance, and then make you, in this product, they tell you exactly what coverage you've got to have. It covers all these things that most families, if they're law-abiding and they make wise decisions, that you probably would not have to have, then I think the price is going to come down. But if the government is doing that, the way they are forcing it upon us, the premiums are going to increase. We've seen over the last few years an increase of $5,000 over what it used to be for health insurance. We've had, I think it's 105% increase in premiums for the average family. We were promised by President Obama that it would go down by $2,500. It's gone up $5,000. We were promised that if you liked our doctor, if we liked our insurance policy, we could keep them. That wasn't true. So when we get rid of the individual mandate and there's no penalty involved, I think there will be a lot of folks that think, "Well, I don't need to have it," and they will not be covered. But whose choice is this? This is America. This is not the Soviet Union.
Right.
If you don't want to have coverage, that's your business. Quite frankly, this is the way this country was founded, and this is the way it should be. I think if we give people a choice and give them a reasonable fee, a reasonable premium, then they will be wise, and they will get the coverage for themselves, their spouses, and their children. But this is what it is. This is America, and we have to give people the freedom to make that choice, not just ram it down their throats.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, representing Babin seems to not exactly have his head wrapped around the fact that the individual mandate is what made the system work at all. Because if you don't make everybody get covered, then the insurance companies wind up getting their asses beat. Because remember, they've got to make a profit at this. Because the only people who get health insurance are the people who tend to be in poor health. You gotta make people who are healthy have insurance as well as people who aren't, and that way the system it balances actuarially. I think that's how it works out. Yeah. But remember that the key is that we do wise things. Like not like not getting cancer. It's wise to not get cancer. Of course, the question remains, as Sister Carol Baker put it, why should I pay for his dick stiffening pills? Yeah, you know, there's that too. But that's because Jesus wants him to have a stiffy, so he can make the precious little fetuses, whose maternity care he does not wish to pay for. Because free market. Because freedom. I think I'm pretty close on that. I've got that down. And then, of course, as Carol points out, it's not the cost of the premium. The devil's in the deductible. Devil's also in the coverage. because, you know, you can buy something that calls itself insurance, but when you need it, turns out ain't. In the immediate aftermath of the Soviets first launching Sputnik, well, enterprising practitioners of the free market immediately began running around the country selling satellite insurance. It wasn't particularly expensive, and it only covered if that one goddamn satellite orbiting the Earth, Sputnik, beep, 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 happened to fall out of geosynchronous orbit and hit your house. I mean, you think the Powerball odds are high. Some bitch. But then it would, you know, it'd pay to rebuild your house. And you'd be surprised how many people bought satellite insurance. Because there's, you know, there's always a sucker out there. And that's the kind of stuff that's going to enter the market after the Republicans get done repealing, skinny repealing, the Affordable Care Act. You're going to get insurance out there that will cover you if you get a black eye on the 4th of July caused when a brick from your brick home hits you in the eye because it's been knocked loose by a stampede of raging elephants in Dubuque. In other words, you pay the money out, you get not shit. See how it works? Brilliant. You know, in a P.T. Barnum kind of way, isn't it? Oh, and one other thing. You know how we were going to have 20 hours of debate? Guaranteed, 20 hours of debate in the Senate on health care. 20 whole hours. Yeah, that's changed, too. Now that Mitch McConnell set the barn on fire, he wants to get some real work done. So, at present, it is expected that in 1 hour and 3 minutes, the Senate of the United States will vote on what is being described as a modified Obamacare repeal and replace bill. This is probably one of several. Mm-hmm. So, that's where we are. Well, here we are at the top of the hour. We're going to continue. We'll continue on. We'll take a little bit of a break. Because, you know, it works that way. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Here's why that congressman says shit about not wanting to pay for maternity care. I saw a show once, can't find it, where the show interviewed a person about insurance. The person thought this is how insurance worked. The person paid the premiums, and they went into their own separate account and accrued there until they needed it. They did not know how it actually worked. This congressman knows people think that their premiums go for their own health care, so he can make sense when he says you should be allowed to pay for only what you might use. That makes perfect sense. Because that's also how people tend to think. It's how people tend not to think at all.
So let's take a break. I want to send out some thanks for getting us started here early in the program. Thank you very kindly to Sarah. And thank you very kindly to Bill. Thanks to them. You know, we had a $195 fundraising goal for the evening. And Bill and Sarah have taken it down to got to do some ciphering here. Yeah, 160. We have $160 to go in fundraising for the evening. 16 at 10, 10 at 16, 1 at 160, 2 at 80, 4 at 40, 8 at 20. Yeah, did the 16 at 10. 32 at 5, 64 at 250, 128 at a buck and a quarter. Yeah. That's how it all goes. So, that being the case, hopefully we'll knock that out sooner rather than later. And it is Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2017. That means we have the Green News Report coming from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. So that's coming up as well. This is listener-supported conversation radio for a Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we'll be back. Another highly appropriate bumper, courtesy of Jason Isbell.
Said, Andy, you're better than your past. Winked at me and drained her glass. Cross-legged on a bar stool like nobody sits anymore. She said, Andy, you're taking me home. But I knew she planned to sleep alone. I'd carry her to bed and sweep up the hair from her floor. If I'd fucked her before she got sick, I'd never hear the end of it. She don't have the spirit for that now. We just drink our drinks and laugh out loud. Bitch about the weekend crowd and try to ignore the elephant. Somehow. She said, Andy, you crack me up. Seagram's in a coffee cup. Sharecropper eyes and the hair almost all gone. She was drunk, she made cancer jokes, made up her own doctor's notes. Surrounded by her family, I saw that she was dying alone. But I'd sing her classic country songs, and she'd get high and sing along. She don't have a voice to sing. We burn these joints in effigy, cry about what we used to be, try to ignore the elephant somehow, somehow. I've buried her 1,000 times, giving up my place in line, but I don't. There's one thing that's real clear to me. No one dies with dignity. We just try to ignore the elephant somehow. We just try to ignore the elephant somehow. We just try to ignore the elephant somehow. Somehow. Somehow.
It's Tuesday, July 25, 2017.
People need to be prepared. They need to be ready and don't wait for somebody to ask you to evacuate your home.
Evacuations and rescues as extreme weather impacts the U.S. New study finds today's extreme heat days are tomorrow's new normal. The Treasury Department sues ExxonMobil for violating Russia's sanctions in oil deal. Plus,
I'm not sure what climate change means.
Trump nominates non-scientist for top USDA science job.
Fantastic. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Climate change has destroyed the Great Barrier Reef, spelling disaster for miles of coral and millions of fish. But did you know global warming might also kill humans? Which saddens me because some of the people I know are human.
Not me. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, this is one of those moments in time that you have long warned about. Most of the country is absolutely sweltering right now, except for out here in the West, where we're dealing with an incoming tropical storm or a hurricane or something like that.
Yeah, and that sweltering heat, unfortunately, is not projected to get any better. A new study projects that extreme heat days that we've observed this summer, not just in the United States, but around the world, are likely to become the average summer temperatures within the next 20 years. That's by 2040. For some regions, that could happen as soon as 2020, regardless of any actions taken to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably likely to happen sooner rather than later, since we've seen so many scientific predictions that have, in fact, come to pass earlier than originally predicted.
And global warming is predicted to accelerate extreme weather. And it's happening right now. Torrential rains caused flash floods in at least two different regions of the United States on Monday, forcing evacuations and rescues. First, near Tucson, Arizona, at least 17 hikers were rescued from flash floods after being trapped overnight. And at the southern New York state border, at least 10 people were rescued from flash floods that closed a highway and forced residential evacuations. In Montana, the nation's largest wildfire, the Lodgepole Fire in eastern Montana, has burned through more than 350 square miles, larger in area than New York City. Officials say extremely hot, dry, and windy conditions have accelerated the fire's pace and created extremely dangerous fire conditions, according to Public Information Officer Jeremy Olson on Montana Public Radio.
Firefighters are experiencing anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12-foot flame lengths in that sagebrush and in the timber draw areas and stuff. It's just not safe to fight fire in there. People need to be prepared across the state of Montana.
Over in Britain, British scientists with the UK's National Weather Service, the Met Office, warned in a new study that man-made global warming has heightened the risk of multiple crop disasters occurring in major farming regions around the world simultaneously. That's due to shifting rainfall patterns and persistent extreme weather events like heat waves. And that information is kind of important, especially when, here in the nation's capital, Donald Trump has picked a non-scientist to fill one of the top science posts at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Sam Clovis, a Trump campaign advisor and former talk radio host, has no background in the hard sciences and no experience in agriculture policy.
Yeah, but he says otherwise.
Well, in an interview with Iowa Public Radio when he was running for U.S. Senate back in 2014, Clovis called climate science junk science.
I'm extremely skeptical. I've looked at the science, and I have enough of a science background to know when I'm being boofed, and I think a lot of what we see is junk science.
When he's being boofed?
Yeah, whatever that means. That's the guy who would oversee the USDA agriculture science programs.
Well, good luck, farmers.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Treasury Department has fined ExxonMobil $2 million, the maximum under law, for violating sanctions that the United States imposed on Russia. That after Exxon signed a massive oil exploration contract with Russia's state-owned oil company back in 2014, while Rex Tillerson, now U.S. Secretary of State, was the oil company's chief executive. Exxon has retaliated by filing a countersuit against the Treasury Department. Finally, just days after Tropical Storm Dawn dissipated in the Atlantic Ocean, over in the Pacific Ocean, Tropical Storm Hillary has intensified into Hurricane Hillary.
Oh, boy.
That's according to the National Hurricane Center. But again, pure coincidence. Storm names were decided more than a decade ago. But Hillary is moving away from the North American coast and poses no threat.
In any event, little surprise that Hillary turned out to be more effective than Don, for whatever it's worth. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, of course. Didn't see that bumper coming from a million miles away, did? No. And the previous bumper going into the break, of course, was Elephant from Jason Isbell's 2013 album, Southeastern. He just keeps getting better. Southeastern was followed by Something More Than Free. And now you've got this the latest freaking brilliant album, namely The Nashville Sound. It just keeps hitting them out of the park. Hey, let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Sister Carol Baker. Oh, Carol.
Oh, I know you thought I was dead, but I'm still here.
Oh, no. I didn't think that at all. Somebody would have told me. They would have lowered the stars and bars to half mast at the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Park and Country Club, if nothing else.
Oh, you'd have heard cheering from the Republicans.
Well, it has been a little while. I know you've been working your fingers to the bone, but you did manage to get loose long enough to call this evening. What's going on in Hooterville these days?
Oh, you know, nothing good.
Well, I mean, I figured there'd be a parade. What with today, we're going to get free from. Today, we begin the process of getting free from having to go to the doctor when we're sick.
Well, I know they're all down there signing their kids up for Boy Scouts.
Jesus. You know, I actually, Jim mentioned, because, I mean, there was nothing really I could do about the speech because it was happening while I was on air. But afterward, oh, dear God, Carol, afterward, the boss and I sat down and watched the thing in its entirety. And I didn't think it was possible for me to be more offended and more infuriated and more disgusted and more nauseated than I had been heretofore. But by God, he upped the ante.
Yes, he did. Well, I took a moment of my not-so-free time today to sit down and pen a letter to the Boy Scouts of America.
Did you now?
I did.
Care to share?
Well, sure. Dear Boy Scouts of America, it was my impression that the BSA was an apolitical organization. Merely inviting the, quote, president all but guaranteed this was going to be a political rally, given the man's track record of mental instability and his inability to behave appropriately in public. He marches out in front of thousands of impressionable children. He has them booing Hillary Clinton, who, though I have little use for her personally, spent a good deal of her career in the service of this country, which is more than I can say for the Pumpkin Fuhrer. And she doesn't deserve to have Boy Scouts at the National Jamboree booing her because the president doesn't like her. Then, as Rick Perry and Tom Price stand behind Trump laughing, he has them booing President Obama, who is an actual Boy Scout. And then he asked this throng of impressionable children to swear fealty to him. And then, of course, to God and country. Are those the values we now teach to the Boy Scouts of America? To cheer a fascist propagandist, con artist, and a buffoon who was never a Boy Scout, and to boo a former First Lady and Secretary of State and a former president who was an actual fellow Scout? Congratulations, Boy Scouts of America. those brown shirts the scouts are wearing will look historically accurate in the years to come when people make comparisons between the BSA and the Hitler Youth. To quote Donald J. Trump's Twitter feed, sad. I won't be making any more contributions to the scouts either directly or through local fundraisers, and I will advise all of my friends not to either. I can only hope they can find more wholesome activities in which their children can participate. Scouting is clearly no longer one of them. And to think, you people were worried about the gay kids. Man, did you miss the mark on that one.
They sure did. That was brilliantly written. You reckon it's going to have smoke coming off of it when it arrives there at BSA headquarters?
I would imagine. About a couple hundred people have shared it on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, Jesus God. And look, I mean, to be fair, there are a whole lot of pissed off scout parents out there right now.
Yes, there are. It was just the whole idea that Donald Trump, who was never a scout, used it for an opportunity merely to self-promote. I mean, seriously, he's still got to talk about his fucking electoral college win to a bunch of kids. That isn't what they came for. Those kids didn't even understand what they were cheering for or booing for. I don't blame the kids.
Well, you know, they ranged in age from 12 to 18. I'd say the 15 to 18-year-olds probably did know what they were cheering for.
Perhaps, but the younger ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. If it weren't, and the length of the goddamn thing, 38 minutes for this harangue.
Mm-hmm.
And an absolute, I mean, this guy is... English is insufficient to the task, Carol. He is inappropriate.
I actually looked up and read the written text of the speech, and it was worse.
Wait, the written text was worse?
The written text is actually worse. Because it says you too can be an ignoramus with no basic concept of the English language or a single train of thought and become president.
Oh wait, so he wrote it with his brown crayon, did he?
Well, I thought he only used orange crayons, but okay.
No, black and brown. It's psychologically, the psychologists say that when you work only with black and brown crayons, there's something desperately wrong inside your head. So, you know, I determined a long time ago that he's the only thing left in his crayon box are black and brown. He's just, you know, but no, you know, the lewd sexual innuendo.
That was just, it made my skin crawl.
And neither you nor I nor anybody in the Horn Family Community Congregation, we are not known for our prudishness, Carol.
Fuck no.
Yeah. But maybe I don't talk
that way in front of children.
There are standards of behavior that people who are not sociopaths adhere to. And he's incapable of it. There's lots of fun words that get used here. But we make the assumption that people tuning into this broadcast know that those fun words are going to get used because, well, this isn't FCC-censored radio now, is it?
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And... You know, I used to say, now, you know, Uncle Bob's about to use a fun word, so it's time to get little Timmy and little Cindy out of the room. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then launch. I'm here to talk about politics today. I'm not here to talk, but who the hell wants to talk about politics? You're here about me. And then the yacht orgies. And the hot people were at the party. Some of the hottest people in New York. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean, but you know what I mean. Nudge, wink. I mean, assuming for a moment, Carol.
Yeah.
And this kind of goes hand in hand with his morning twoop storm.
Oh, man. It's like drunk tweeting.
Yeah, they went after poor little Jared. And what's next? A witch hunt against 11-year-old Baron Trump? You know, poor little Jared's what? 35?
Uh-huh.
Baron's 11?
Yep.
And he talks this way in front of thousands of tweeners and adolescents. Can you just imagine, assuming that he spends any time around Baron at all, of which I am not convinced...
My, thank goodness.
Can you imagine how he talks around him?
Probably just as bad as we think he does.
Or worse.
Or worse.
Yeah. Hey, Baron. Yeah, there's my boy. Hey, Baron. Yeah, who's got the biggest dick? You want to see my dick, Baron? Would you put it past him?
Baron, do you want to fuck Ivanka as much as I do? We're keeping it all in the family.
Then there was the reference to the military. And you know, I got to commission the Gerald R. Ford the other day. And I want you to know, because some of you are going to be in the military, we're going to be feared and revered.
God.
Any scout parent who was not absolutely horrified by that whole affair has something profoundly wrong with them. This is no longer a matter of a difference of political opinion. If we can't come to an agreement, Carol, about what is appropriate around kids, and if we can't agree at something approaching 100% that was the epitome of inappropriate, no, it ain't on us. There's something wrong with them.
True. I've long said I'm not the reason we can't have nice things, contrary to popular belief.
And one of my personal favorites. Yeah, and this Christmas, you'll all be saying Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas. I saw that and I was like, who the fuck ever told somebody they can't say Merry Christmas?
Well, not even that, Carol. You know, my mind immediately went to the question of, really? The Jewish scouts, they have to say Merry Christmas? How about the Muslims?
Apparently they do.
Yeah, or else.
This is a Christian by God.
You do the unspeakable and you go into the comments section. And you see thank God for Trump. He's making America great again. He sure made it. You know, it just makes him libtards. I love making the libtards cry, how he makes the libtards cry. God damn. They don't understand, Carol, that this isn't specifically necessarily about him. It is about the brick-by-brick destruction of the entire idea and institution of civil governance.
When you've got a death by a thousand paper cut strategy, it's going to happen. The problem is I watch so many people who can't sleep at night, are depressed, burst out in tears for no reason, or just find themselves just so constantly angry. And it's because you can't fight every front that you're being attacked on healthcare, on reproductive rights, on the whole Russia bullshit, you're living in a state where kids have virtually no opportunities except to sell and take illegal drugs. You know, how many dead hillbillies do you need to turn the fucking state blue?
No, the dead hillbillies will just turn it redder, Carol.
Apparently.
Shelley Moore Capito rolls around in 2020. And you know what the moribund West Virginia Democratic Party will do?
Nothing.
They'll run
the least palatable person to run against her.
No, they'll run some little minion of Joe Manchin, Republican light. And Shelley Moore will just stomp the guts out of her like she did last time with Natalie Tennant, who tried to be a pro-coal Democrat and got her just guts kicked in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's not going to be, Shelley Moore knew she could do this because there is no price to be paid. She has no fear of electoral retribution whatsoever. And Jesus Christ, that says a lot about whatever used to pass for self-respect amongst people here. We used to think more of ourselves than we do now.
I don't know, but I still think about other people. I don't live in West Virginia, but I care about the people who live there. I care about mine safety. I care about the people that are dying every day from strip mining who have nothing to do with it. I care about the fact that people are so laser focused, thinking that, you know, coal keeps the lights on and that's the only life that they're ever entitled to. It frustrates me because that's not the way life should be. I care about everybody. I care about everything. I care about kids who go to bed hungry at night. 1 in 4 kids in my state goes to bed hungry every night.
Right.
And yet I'm living in a state where a legislature just cut the education budget by 25%. So where do they think those poor kids live? They live in the deep urban core and they live in the far rural areas where they have been living in a state of absolute hopelessness for so long they can't see a way out. So what do you tell them?
Well, let me share a little something with you. I managed to catch the last hour of my nasty little habit that Agnes and I engage in every morning, you know, the MSNBC morning program. And toward the very end of it, they had on my senator, Joe Manchin.
Oh, really?
Who wouldn't say boo about what happened at the Boy Scout camp, of course. Yeah. He's a man of courage, Joe. But in the context of the general, some softball was asked him by Joe Scarborough about where does the Democratic Party go? And he said, well, Joe, the Democrats can't be about urban America. And I immediately hit Twitter and said, Jesus, or Facebook or whatever, and said, just put on the damn hood and be done with it, Joe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was just dog whistling. That was just code. The Democratic Party needs to stop paying attention to all those people who aren't pasty faced and doughy white.
That's right. One of your other listeners made a very valid point. If the ACA was only available to white people, there is no fucking way what happened today would have happened.
Right. That was Silent R. Lamar.
Well, Silent R. Lamar, you've been paying attention.
Yeah. And then Joe followed it up, Carol, by saying, people need to get off their butts and work a little bit if they can.
Where?
I guess in the coal mines.
Really? There's enough work in the coal mines for everybody, is there?
No, not even, not by half. No. But they need to get off, people need to get off their butts and work a little bit if they can. And toward what end? I mean, the purpose of, and I'm deadly serious about this, Carol. The purpose of work used to be to make enough money or to raise enough food to keep being alive, and maybe even get a little bit of joy out of your trips around the sun in this vale of tears. Mm-hmm. But now the purpose of work is to support our corporate betters and make life good for the shareholders. Otherwise, there would be something approaching a living wage in this country. Otherwise, people who work for the Walmarts and the Targets and what have you wouldn't be making substandard wages and reliant upon the social welfare system such as it remains.
Bob, St. Louis and Kansas City both passed laws upping the minimum wage over the next 3 years to a living wage. And what did the state legislature do?
They passed a law forbidding Kansas City and St. Louis from doing that.
That is exactly right. That they could not pass a living wage higher than the federal standard. Or the Missouri. Because I think ours is...
No, it was the state. It was the state. They couldn't pass a wage higher than the state minimum wage, wasn't it?
Which is 10 cents higher than the federal. Which, God knows, makes all the difference in the world.
And don't spend that dime all in one place, you hear?
Yeah.
So...
So me, back to the ranch, I've got a whole host of liberals lauding John McCain for his fiery speech, his mavericky speech, as he voted yes. Because, you know, now it's time to return to the Senate that we... You know what, buddy? You're asking to return to a Senate that no longer exists. And you know what? I can't respect a man who voted yes on this after he already voted for the ACA repeal 61 fucking times.
Counted, did you?
I counted. I'm like that.
61.
61 times.
But now we're gonna return to regular order.
Ferris Bueller.
You know, somebody on your page was talking about pissing on his grave, and I think we could retire the national debt if we sold tickets to do that.
Yes.
I mean, I have nothing left for him. And you know, I'd be really, really mad at Shelley Moore Capito if it wasn't exactly what I expected of her.
It was the guy from Nevada, Dean Heller, that pissed me off.
Oh, you mean after all his high-minded, highfalutin talk about Nevadans have to be protected and I'm not going to hurt the most the most delicate among us?
I want one Republican to tell me what they voted yes on today. They have no fucking idea what's in that bill.
No, they're just gonna they're just gonna vote on whatever comes down the pike. They'll just do the, look, they're servile. They're lick spittles. They will do what they are goddamn well told.
Well, as long as they've got this guy in the White House, you know, they can get their sick list of mean things that they want to get passed. They're going to let this guy go on like this for as long as they can keep him. Period. They're going to let him go on as long as they can keep him, because it allows them to do shit just like they did today.
And they love doing shit just like they did today. They are predators. Oh, I got a ding at the same time I said predators. I feel good about that.
It's my phone.
We got a question coming in from Ron and Raleigh.
Yes.
Could you tell me what the racial breakdown of the scout audience at the Jamboree was? I'm guessing the Negro cohort was a mite small. I imagine the crowd was somewhat monochromatic.
Well, okay, here's what you do, honey. You envision a clavern meeting, and then tell me what the racial breakdown is.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, imagine the clavern meeting and put Cleavon Little in the middle of it.
Yeah, something like that.
But truthfully, no.
Wait a minute.
There were Hispanic people there. There were people, brown skinned people there. Saw the photos, but yeah, it was pretty monochromatic, and they just clapped and they just cheered, and then I presume that you saw the excuse that was put out by the Boy Scouts, right?
What a piece of shit. We respect all people's opinions.
I mean, talk
if
about...
If you respect that opinion, there's something wrong with you.
The official statement was, the Boy Scouts of America is wholly nonpartisan and does not promote any one position, product, service, political candidate, or philosophy. The invitation for the sitting U.S. president to visit the National Jamboree is a long-standing tradition and is in no way an endorsement of any political party or specific policies.
Right.
The sitting U.S. president serves as the BSA's honorary president. It is our long-standing custom to invite the U.S. president to the National Jamboree. Interesting, then, that out of the 14 people who have been president since the Jamboree began, slightly more than 50% have attended.
Mm-hmm.
So much for long-standing tradition. But the fact of the matter is, they have a Boy Scout bylaw that says there will be no overt political messaging in the Scouts. They violated their own rules, and they won't admit it. But at least, you know, because, you know, thank God they're on the lookout for the Homer sectionals. I got another ding for that. Cool. Somebody's doing this on purpose. I mean, the timing is perfect.
Yes.
But, you know, if their rules mean nothing, their honor means nothing. You know, such as it is, honor. And so last night that I just went through my Twitter feed. There were Eagle Scouts and people with three generations and silver beavers. I didn't know. I thought that was something silly like Les Nessman's silver sow and his copper cob. But there really is. There's a silver beaver for 50 years of service to the Boy Scouts. I would have thought they would have come up with a different name, but, you know, who the hell am I?
and it used to be within, you know, within their standards, well, you know, Bob, you're a pervert. But now, I mean, but the guy who spoke to him yesterday, if you said, well, you know, you're 70, we're going to give you the silver beaver. What do you think Trump would say? Well, I don't know. I don't want any of those old ones.
That's probably right.
I mean, can't at least be at least bleach blonde or maybe orange? And will she pee on a bed in a Moscow hotel room, the silver beaver?
Well, I imagine she'd have to.
Jesus Christ. And, I mean, there was something about yesterday. I mean, since January 20th, which instead of 6 months feels like 6 years ago, we've been through a lot, Carol. You mentioned it a minute ago. You know, we're overwhelmed.
We are overwhelmed.
But watching that speech yesterday, and, you know, I watched the speech at the commissioning of the Gerald R. Ford, too. And somehow, you know, the USS Gerald R. Ford, I just have this feeling that it's going to run aground somewhere, you know, karma.
Well, I'm stunned that he was able to get it built in 6 months. That's all on him, right?
All by himself.
All by himself.
Didn't even have any help. But I watched that speech, too. But there was something yesterday that more than anything else sort of opened up, you know, the veil lifted and the fog parted. And I saw a terrifying American future. Because all kidding aside, yeah. the people who go to that thing are the kind who go all the way up to make Eagle Scout.
Mm-hmm.
And being an Eagle Scout it winds up being a big predictor for success in military advancement.
True.
So I saw people in that. I mean, there were people cheering. Well, no, not cheering. There were people booing Obama in that crowd. There were boys, mostly, booing Obama in that crowd. There were boys, mostly, in that crowd, booing Hillary Clinton, chuckling nervously at his dirty innuendos. And those fuckers, I know we're talking about children, I'm sorry, they won't always be children. Those fuckers are going to be generals and admirals 35 and 40 years from now. Those are going to be the ones, those people who cheered at, and I'm telling you, we're going to be feared and revered. Those are the ones who'll snap a salute when maybe President Barron Trump, after it becomes a family dynasty. Hey, you remember, Carol, just a little aside. You remember when all the twee, precious, purity progressives said, oh, I can't stand the idea of a Clinton dynasty. Clinton dynasty, ooh, brooga, brooga. Remember them?
Oh, I remember.
Well, 40 years from now, those are the people who may be snapping a salute when some Trump git has a meltdown and decides to blow the world up. And they'll say, yes, sir, because your grandfather or your daddy or whatever said that I owed your family my personal loyalty. Because he did that too, Carol. He called for their personal loyalty. Fascists do that.
That did not get by me. That was the thing. When he did that, I'm sitting there going, you asked a crowd of thousands of kids to pledge their loyalty to you, and you want me to believe that you didn't ask the same goddamn thing of James Comey? How dumb do you think I am? But back to them booing Obama. Imagine what it would be like to be one of those lone scouts of color that were in that crowd, listening to all the people around him boo the first black president. What do you suppose that did to them?
I can't even begin.
Because I got to tell you, I had a. Do you remember our friend Anthony Cartwright?
Oh, Cartwright, yeah.
That you remember him? You interviewed him while he was in India.
Absolutely.
And he's back in the United States now. And every once in a while, I hear from him. And there was this. He had a dream the other night that he talked about. But what his takeaway was in the whole thing, he said, there's no such thing as accidental racism or racism a la carte. There are white people who think that when they do something or say something racist, it's a manifestation of an isolated event. But that's not true. White supremacy isn't a role that one person puts on and takes off like a bed sheet. It's the bed. That's when one chooses. It's a bed that you can lie on and rest on comfortably. I thought that was pretty damn profound.
That is pretty profound.
And when you think about it, it holds true for sexism as well. Because I hear men make horribly sexist comments, and then they laugh about it, and it's like, oh, you know, you know I'm not a sexist. It's just a joke. Well, you look awfully comfortable in that little sexist bed of yours telling that joke. And the same holds true for classism. They make these jokes about poor people. They make these shitty comments about poor people. And, oh, they care about all people. All lives matter. You know, but except for the black ones and the female ones and the poor ones. And it's a very convenient excuse to say, I care about everybody. I'm not like that. And yet it comes off so easily. And I think about racism a lot because I think it's something that at one time or another we can all be guilty of. And I just feel like you have to own it in order to keep it in check. And Anthony said something really he carried the conversation on his own thread afterwards. And he said, you know, he said, that's right. He goes, maybe I should consider my male privilege that when I see another woman being forced to take less money, I should volunteer to take less money. And I said, well, that's not really realistic because, you know, like in the case of my white privilege, okay, I was driving a company car that I had just had for like a couple of days. It had expired plates on it that I didn't realize, a tail light out that I didn't realize, and I got pulled over by a state trooper, okay? I felt lucky to be pulled over by a state trooper because I have to tell you, in Missouri, these guys are the cream of the crop. These are not the Barney Fives.
No, those are the ones they bother to train.
Right. And these guys are good at what they do. I've never been upset or worried if I see a state trooper behind me. Because if they pulled me over, you can talk to these people. Well, in the end, I had expired plates. One plate was in the front window. It wasn't even on the front bumper where it's legally obligated to be. A taillight out. And he said I was speeding a few miles over the speed limit. It wasn't a lot. I didn't get a ticket. And I said, so in order to keep my white privilege in check, should I have said, I appreciate that, officer, but could you drag me out of the car, beat me senseless, shoot me, and then smear my reputation on social media after I'm dead? So I said, you just kind of have to put it in perspective. You have to own it, but you can't necessarily say, you know, I'm going to forfeit it at any given moment because the consequences in a lot of cases can be pretty dire. These are the deep thoughts I have with my friends. But
yes.
I mean, but these are the kind of great conversations you can have with people. And it's those kinds of conversations, it's that open back and forth that I have with very smart people that really try to think things through. And I loved where he was going with it, but I had to offer that word of caution. And it's those are more the kinds of conversations we should be having as thinking human beings. But I realized how limited the circle is around me of people that I can have those conversations with, because we've weaponized, you know, ignorance. And it's okay now to be an open racist, and we can hate poor people. Everybody's coming for our guns and our taxes and our just the level of stupidity in all this is what absolutely, I think, keeps me up at night. And is it just me? I keep thinking, is it just me? And am I obsessive? Am I going mental?
No, it is not just you. It's the kind of thing that's driving a whole bunch of us right on around the bend.
It is, and there was a black guy down the street that has a really bad heart condition, and he's getting older, and we had this horrible heat wave here last week. It ain't much better now, but it was really, I mean, the temperatures were well over 100, and the heat indexes were obscene, and I knew he wasn't going to make it. So, you know, I spent $125 that I didn't have, and I bought him an air conditioner so that he had one room in the house that he could revert, you know, go to.
That he could retreat to. Like,
that he could absolutely retreat to, and he hasn't been in the hospital once since he got that air conditioner. Now, why is it that a poor person in this country, in these kinds of conditions, has to rely on a neighbor for that?
Well,
it's not what like
okay. Let me ask you a follow up to that. What happened to the concept contained in the Constitution that we are all each other's neighbors? You know, promote the general welfare. That line.
Well, I think promote the general welfare means, I think they left a word out. It was promote the general corporate welfare, because that seems to be the only one that's okay.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, and not in the Southern bad way, but bless your heart.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's not the God lover, she can't help it kind of bless your heart. That's the real one. That's the one where, you know, common acts of decency have a greater effect than most of us really might very well comprehend or expect.
And, you know, it wasn't an easy thing to do or give, because it's not like I have a plethora of money laying around.
No.
But and on top of it, Cat Stevens got really sick last week.
Is he better? He's
better. He's still got this kind of rattly thing going on, but the vet cannot find anything wrong with him. Nothing. So I don't know if he's just playing Ferris Bueller. I don't, you know.
You know what? At this time of year, it can be pollen. It could be the pollen and the humidity.
It could be.
Yeah.
But you know something? Somebody did something so sweet and so kind. They texted me and said, can I help you out with that vet bill? And I was like, no, I'm okay. You know, because I'm one of those people that I would never ask anybody to help me unless things were dire. And even then, I suck at asking for help.
Yeah.
And I will be damned if Sunday night I went to the mailbox, opened it up, and there was a money order for the exact cost of the vet bill.
I'll be damned.
That my friend sent to me. And I thought, you know what? I feel better about paying it forward and doing those kinds of things, because decent people with a soul and who really care about other people and see other people who are out there trying to make a difference in the lives of their neighbors and their friends and, you know, want to do something better. And it's like, and like I use Facebook for to basically troll the president. And I do it in such a way as to make people laugh because it keeps them from crying. And I have so many people who say, you know, I have just sat out on this ledge for so long, and then I'll see one of your little comments pop up, and I crawl back in the window and think I can make it one more day.
And that's
and
all.
By the way, how is it that how have I not been blocked by Donald Trump?
I don't know. I keep trying, and I can't get blocked either. Maybe it's because you don't have the little blue birdie thing outside your name.
Maybe. And, you know, and I start each comment to him, buttercup, lamb chop, sweet pants.
Oh, then that's it. He thinks you're coming on to him.
So I think they just see the first part and move on. They don't see that I'm making. And, you know, twice he has liked a tweet of mine where I was clearly making shit out of him.
You're kidding.
No.
You've been liked by Donald Trump on Twitter?
I have been liked twice by Donald Trump.
Oh, my Jesus.
On two trolling tweets, and I'm sitting there going, how fucking dumb can
okay,
you
so I, you know, I'm not the shell answer man, but here's a suggestion.
Yes.
Last I checked, isn't your avatar on Twitter like a picture of Cat Stevens or something?
I can't remember. Hang on. I have to look. Isn't that awful?
I can't remember either. I thought.
Oh no, my avatar on Twitter is a boxing glove.
No, so you need to change it to some generic, really hot blonde.
And then my cover photo is a picture of the evolution of man, and the last one is Donald Trump, and they just start jumping off the cliff.
Yeah, so change your cover photo to some sort of MAGA something, and change your avatar to this just smoking hot blonde.
Oh. Well, he'll like all my
See, we got a ding. That was a good idea. The universe is paying attention. The goddess is with us tonight. I said smoking hot blonde, you got a ding. And the thing that makes this miraculous is the fact of the internet latency involved. It can only be the goddess of irony doing this.
That's true.
So maybe, you know, change your cover photo on Twitter to the picture of that woman offering up her baby in Mobile, Alabama to be eaten by Donald Trump. And then, you know, change your avatar to just this totally smoking hot blonde in a barely there bikini with, like, you know, 36X breasts. And
you don't want me to use my own picture, do you?
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to say, that without being, you know, rude.
Well, coming off sexist.
the lamb chop and the buttercup, you know, because I just say, listen, Tiny. I'm taking it referring to him as Tiny.
My dad's nickname for me was Slim. He used to call me Slim. Which was really funny, because I ain't, never was.
Well, I think you, you know, everybody needs an ambition, Carol, and I think yours should be getting blocked by Donald Trump.
I don't know. I've gotten like 2,000 followers while trolling him. I have. I think I didn't have that many Twitter followers until I started really going after him.
Well, I've had my little bit of fun here and there by just quietly tweeting things to him like, you know, you can't trust anyone, right? Even your own family. They're all out to get you, Don. Everybody. Just on the odd chance that he might see that, and maybe that's good for, you know, one night walking around in his bathrobe and slippers at 3 a.m. in the White House. They may be all that. I think they are. They're all out to get me. So
I see that stuff and I'm like, he's angry, he's awake, and he's tweeting like an alcoholic.
Do you think he schedules those tweets to come out at like 5 a.m.? I mean, is he that sharp? Is he sharp enough to do that?
Oh, no, I think.
Or is it? It's twooping, isn't it?
He's up wandering around, just crazy. I think Sunday morning I was like, he was out golfing. And I was like, oh, my God, Buttercup, it's nearly 8 a.m. on the East Coast and no one has seen a twit tantrum. You okay?
It's the love. Everybody wants to be worried about just a little bit, Carol. And because you're a giver, well,
yes.
You worry. And
I do.
And the Trump family appreciates it.
He needs me.
He does. And maybe you'll get invited to the White House or something.
Oh, dear God, please no. oh, yay.
Yeah. How exciting that would be. Right. Yeah. Exciting that. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's been way too long. It has been way too long. And I'm so glad that you jingled in. I worry.
I have to get back to work.
You're still at work, right?
Yes, I'm still working. I am.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, you know what? This is the roofing business, and you got to make hay when the sun shines. And we had a tornado come through here the 1st of March. Then we had 5 solid weeks of rain. By the time the rain stopped, I was like 55 roofing jobs behind. Every time I catch up, there's another bad storm that hits through here. We just had one on Saturday night. And it's like, I took over 100 phone calls before noon on Monday. And we're just going as fast as we can. So, yeah, I work late.
Mostly asphalt shingles, or do y'all do the metal roofing too? Or
we don't do any metal roofing. Mostly asphalt shingles. Some shake. People are getting away from that because the insurance companies have figured out that it's just a great big fire hazard. And then we do some tile work. But here in Tornado Alley, there are not a lot of people who have tiles. The rich people over in, like Loch Lloyd and places like that, they have them. But it's mostly asphalt shingles. And most of the ones we put on are like impact resistant, lifetime guaranteed ones. So the ones that we do,
knock wood, I've been really, really fond of this metal roof since we put it on. It's held up well, and it is just a delight when the rain falls on it.
It does, and I wanted one really bad, but I settled for an in-between. We had a rich-ass doctor who insisted he had to have these Da Vinci tile shingles. They looked like tile. They looked like slate. And we got them all bought. Everything was done. And then he backed out. And they wouldn't take them back. So we have all these Da Vinci shingles that have just pissed my boss off every time he looked at them. And he finally looked at me and he goes, I just figured out what we're going to put on your house. Guess who's getting a Da Vinci roof?
So nice.
My house will look like a diamond in a goat's ass, but here I am.
Living large by Lake Hooter.
Living the dream. Anyway, but I'm going to let you go so that you can chat with someone else.
All right, and you get.
I've missed you all.
Oh, we've missed you, and we worry about you. Maybe when cold weather comes, you'll be around a little bit.
The Snarkmeister will be back.
Yes, very good, Carol Baker. You take care and be. Jesus, God, you're still at work. Be careful going home. Them people's crazy out there on the road.
It's actually easier at this hour.
Well, I guess it is. As far as getting out of town. Look, another ding. See how it works?
It was a thanks for stopping by ding.
All right. See you, Carol. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Queen of the Minions, Carol Baker. Been a while since we'd heard from her. I'm glad we did. Let's run over to the stress line. Where, unless I miss my guess, we might have, could it be, by the way, before we got down to $160 to go in fundraising and sort of parked on $160. So if we could knock that out before the evening's end and just stay even through, Tuesday
and not start working on our hole quite just yet, that would be wonderful. $160 to go, but I think we have Silent R. Lamar. Do we have Silent R. Lamar?
Yep.
And there he is. What's happening?
How you doing there, buddy?
You know, I'm getting along. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm going through a whole lot of difficulty, but I'm loving it. I knew the job was dangerous when I took it.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I like Miss Carol Baker. You sure put me behind a hard rock to follow, dude.
And nobody can follow Carol. Don't worry about it. I can't follow Carol, so.
But I love her. I love her because she's so loving. She's the one in all this despair that we're going through is going to be one of the people who's going to get hurt the most. Because she is true and loving. But getting back to your disclaimer to the Buzz Bunny, the Daffy Duck Porky Pig, a disclaimer of the insurance, you forgot the Hellstorm and the baby zebra.
So I didn't even say anything about that being a Daffy Duck Porky Pig, but you knew immediately, right?
Yes, I do. I am a brother. I'm not that much older than you, but I am older than you, and I love my cartoons because back in the day, the cartoons were a depiction of what we were living with and what we were doing. You know, there's one cartoon that they don't show is with Sylvester and the old lady who was a billionaire who died and left him all the money, and he was trying to get rid of the money, and Elmer Fudd was telling him about capitalism and corporatism and all this other stuff, how you need to invest the money back. And his cat friends told him to put the money back, give it back to invest. Most people don't understand America is a capitalistic country. If the people cannot buy stuff, we cannot go forward.
Yeah, capitalism doesn't work so well.
Right. And, you know, like Roosevelt said, he had to save capitalism from itself. But you know what? You spoke, like I sent you a little email. Oh, thanks for the Tom Lehrer last night. I really needed that.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
By you being a dement type, you did that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really funny. I'm looking at the situation. By me being 58 years of age and being brought up in politics, I'm just watching how we are repeating. And it makes sense to me from what I've heard, those snippets of how they want to change history. Well, if you want to change history, you do something correct now. Don't change the books. You know, I'm listening right now. I don't know if it was Hodge or Steve. I told him, get ready for 1929 because that's what we're living at right now. 1929. And I don't care what the Republicans do. They're working on making themselves unelectable for the future.
I would like to think that you're correct, Lamar, but there are certain significant differences between 1929 and now that make me wonder if anything renders them unelectable. Because, social media, fake news stories. I mean, fake news is real. It's just not what what Tangerine Tiberius says it is. It's stuff that is deliberately placed in social media to influence public opinion based on very, very finely grained data analysis. You know, stuff that you and I may never see, but Emery and Marvelline will.
Well, you know what? The Tangerine Tiberius you calling, I have a couple of names for him I refuse to say right now. But, you know, it's like, I don't care how he tries to change or how they try to change. Like I tell people at my high school, I can take a 12th grader, Hispanic, and put him on a Republican Party, he'll win. Because they rigged everything for them to win. So I'm at the point right now, I like what the Democrats are kind of doing right now, And this new, the Democrat, this idea that the Democrats have to have a new message, I mean, this is weird to me. The message has always been the same, because I don't consider myself, I don't call myself a liberal or a progressive. I am a Democrat. I am for the working class American, not Republican, not Democrat, American. And until the American people realize the people they vote into office, if these people refuse to represent you, that's your problem. Because I'm loving, I mean, I hate to get political and I mean, or racist, I'm loving that they're erasing the black vote. Because when it comes up, when the bullshit hits the fan, they can't point at us because they don't let us vote. Just like they're pointing at Hillary, who is a citizen who is not even in politics. They're still pointing at Hillary. Eventually, like they, like
oh, yeah.
You
no,
heard,
no. Another new name for him, Donald Duck Draft.
Yeah.
You'll like that. Yeah. is sitting there. I don't know why Jeff Sessions won't announce an investigation of Crooked Hillary. You know, God damn you, mental case. We had 4 years of investigation of Hillary. And even the Republicans said, sorry, you know, total waste of time. We were only doing it for politics. There's no there.
But see, that's the point. Let them point at Hillary. I wish Hillary would go out there and get in a tight skin bikini and show her age and cellulite and everything and give them something to focus on. Because just like they did before, they focused on Hillary. Barack Obama became president. So they will focus on Hillary. They like shiny objects. Just give them a shiny object. Take some no-name Democrat and put him in office. And I grant you, they wouldn't know how to attack because everything is geared to attack the Clintons. And I mean, I'm sorry to say it. Everybody wants Elizabeth Warren to run for president. I don't want her to run for president. I want her to keep her ass in Congress. That's where we are affected. Every time you take people out of Congress to run for president that are in the Democratic mindset, that want to help the American people, they run for president, they lose, we are weakened. Barack Obama should never have taken the governor out of Arizona. Because the minute he put her into position in his cabinet, we lost Arizona. And several other places. We as Democrats need to think about who's in the game. Keep the people who are fighting for us on the floor of the House and Senate and put more people in the House and Senate. Everybody who thinks the president is the big thing, think about Obama. They screwed that brother for 8 years. So don't tell me that the president is the main squeeze. I know he's not. I was brought up in the 60s. I know how government, I'm just a bill. Just only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol fucking Hill. I am educated through the public schools like you. So when you tell me that we need a president, no, we need a Congress. Because Congress cannot be removed. The president that we have right now can be impeached. And everything that the Republicans allow this fool to do hurts their party.
I'm not arguing with you, Lamar. But somewhere in here, there has to be the question has to be asked: how do we get people to stop voting for them? How do you get people? Wait, just wait. Hear me out, please.
I'm going to hear you out. Yeah. I got your answer, but I'm going to hear you out. I want to hear
How do you
out.
Get them to stop caring more about fetuses than real babies? How do you get them to stop caring more about their guns than food. How do you get them? How do you get them to care more about people being able to go to the doctor when they're sick than about their religion? Okay.
You put me in a really ugly, mean position right now. But my answer to everything you have to say is patience is a virtue. Because when those people who won't hold their guns can't put food on the table because they only got their guns, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to give us the guns and figure out a way to get food. And guess what? Since America has been brainwashed that it's never your fault, thanks to WM Leader and the promotion of stupid promoting up, you're going to have that. All, like I say, the congressperson who voted to go with Trump and the Republicans to kill health care, when all those people go to wonder why they are dying, all the money and corporations is not going to get them reelected because the people are going to vote for what's going to be in their best interest. That's why I always say when I speak on here on occasion, vote your damn pocketbook. Don't vote your love. Don't vote your religion. Thank you, Ronald Reagan, for bringing religion into the fray because religion was never in the fray prior to 1980. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. Reagan, the rise of Reagan coincides with the rise of the religious right.
Right. And so all those people who are screaming and hollering, like you say, the goddess of irony is just sitting back with her chopsticks and she's rubbing them together because she got a plethora of food. She got sweet and sour pork. She got compound chicken. She got some Mongolian beef. I mean, she's got a grip of shit to eat because the Republicans is putting it out there. Remember, people don't want to think about history. Republicans lost power prior to 29, and it took them 40 years to get back into power around Clinton, or it was Clinton era, they started to get back in power. And they're going to repeat it because they're working right now to change history. Well, if you don't understand your history, you're doomed to repeat it. We're going to be the only country that says white people were here first in the Indians' land and they had to kill the Indians, which everybody knows that's bullshit. But you're going to have a lot of American people who have been dumbified now who are going to believe that. Oh, I got to get this pet peeve off my chest. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
We were talking Thursday. I was on vacation in Vegas with my wife. She drugged me away from all the turmoil of the rat race in L.A. And you were talking about some asshole who was talking about some bullshit in South Africa, in Africa. Some white man talking about farmers being attacked in Africa.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, excuse me, asshole, where, what continent are you on? You are a minority. You fucked those people before. You stole those people before. Why do you think they would not defend themselves? Give them all the arsenals they want. When you got 10,000 Negroes coming over the hill after your ass, there's only 300 of you, I don't think you're going to stop them.
Yeah, see, I want to go back to one thing if I could, Lamar.
Go ahead.
You said people just need to vote their wallets, and I agree.
Yeah, you broke up on me.
You say people just need to vote their wallets, and I agree.
Oh yes.
But, you've still got to get around or over or through the people who are telling them to vote anything but. And in a place like Appalachia, that's the pulpit. That's the preacher.
Well, you know what? I've been saying an ugly joke to myself. I haven't shared it with nobody. But, you know, I'm like this. Those coal mining people who do not want to move into the 21st century, I'm not willing to live on Alpha Sulfur 5, nor do I want to live through Waterland or Waterworld or Mad Max. They need to go talk to the buggy whip people and figure out what did the buggy whip people do. You're going to have to go forward. Dr. Seuss has...
But Lamar, will you please believe me when I tell you I live here and they're not having any of that? They have a constitutional right to mine coal like Grandpappy did, although Grandpappy mined coal because he had to, not because it was the abiding ambition of his life.
Well, you know what? I feel for you, and I love you like a brother, Bob. But we hillbillies, or wannabe hillbillies, or who got hillbillies in the family, need to realize things change. And one thing human beings are scared of is change. It is psychologically hard for Americans or any human being, anything that calls himself a human, to change. Either you adapt or die. That is the culture of the universe. I understand. I mean, I don't have a problem with people mining coal, but when you have a system where cheap labor is the ultimate goal and no humans are needed, they're going to come up with machinery that can do your job. So they're still mining coal, but you're still out of work.
Yeah, and it ain't going to get any better. But again, you're talking facts. You're talking facts, Lamar, while they're talking about things they believe. All right,
and well, what they but you know what?
And what they believe is almost insurmountable.
What? But see, the thing is this: you can believe you can move a mountain, but there is some point in time that you will come to the point. I believe I can move a mountain, but this is not the mountain I'm supposed to move. Because you are in a religious, highly religious area, and I am Christian I'm just Christian, but I will not beat you over the head to make you believe in how or why or what I believe in, because I was taught that is not my job. And these people that you talk about are the same way. They're out there promoting because they feel they've been infringed on. They are hurting. I understand they are hurting. And when you are hurting, you don't make good damn decisions.
Well, the fact of the matter is, people aren't hurting anymore in Appalachia or any of those other places where the Democrats should have listened to the white working class, as Joe Manchin says. They're not hurting any more than anywhere else. They're pissed. They're pissed off that they're not being treated. That they're not being treated like they're superior. They're pissed off that the world is changing. Okay,
yes, they are. I agree with that, but it goes back to voting your pocketbook. You've been voting for Billy Boob for the last 4 years. You've been living the same way for the last 12 years. Maybe Billy Boob is not who you need.
That's possibly true. But you know what we don't get? We don't get much in the way of viable candidates who are what we need.
Well, you don't need, you know what? I'm gonna be really frank with you. You don't need a viable candidate. You need a populace that believes in themselves and want to promote the best for them. If you keep voting, see right now they're voting.
I want to work through this with you, Lamar.
Yeah.
okay, you want that populist in West Virginia. That populist is also going to have to oppose a woman's right. We're going to need a progressive populist who opposes a woman's right to choose, who is pro-white, pro-gun, and pro-coal. That's what you just described.
I don't have a problem with that. The problem that you have.
I do, Lamar, because you're talking about a leprechaun, a non-existent imaginary creature.
Okay, remember you mentioned that there are 50 individual states.
Yeah, 50 little petty kingdoms. Yes.
Right. So I'm like this. If the people in your state want to work for coal and all this, I'm all for it. But let's do it in a way that everybody benefits from it. Don't try to do like Georgia. Don't try to be like California.
But Lamar, buddy, I love you. There's no way to mine coal where everybody benefits from it. It is in.
I understand that.
You can't do that. It's impossible. It's the thing the leprechauns do. Imaginary beings do imaginary things.
No. What I'm saying, Bob, is this. West Virginia needs to do what is best for West Virginia. Don't try to be like the other states surrounding you. Do what is needed to be done for West Virginia. If the coal mining population is being automated, then the coal miners should demand some restitution for the ability of not working at a skill set that they determined they had to do.
And guess who had a plan to do that, Lamar?
I don't know. Tell me, my brother.
Hillary Clinton. And so did Bernie Sanders. And they rejected both of them out of hand.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought Hillary Clinton up in that. She also told people when she was on the teleprompter and in front of the American people, Donald Trump is a person who you can tweak and get him off key. And she has been so right, but nobody talks about it.
Well, no, but see, if I do anything on this program except say that Hillary Clinton was the devil, I am immediately deluged in emails calling me an establishment shill.
Insufficiently
devoted to Bernie's democratic socialism. Hell, I'm further to the left than Bernie will ever be. Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm going to share something with you. I am a democratic socialist, okay? Because America is socialist. And those people who don't want to believe America is socialist, we and the people to form a more perfect union to all the other garbage that's in that thing, how socialist can you be? It doesn't say I the person, me the person, or we the person. It says we the country, or we the people. And you know, the dumbification of America, see, you know, I'm an educator. The dumbification of America is astounding. But one thing I have said, and I'm going to say it now, the dumber you make people, the more violent the situation is going to be. So when the people find out that they are being cheated, they cannot negotiate, and they will become violent. Bob, I'm going to ask you again. When the last time you seen two professors have a fist fight in the street?
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
When the last time you seen two college graduates have a fist fight in the street?
That would be Morgantown, West Virginia, last football game I attended.
But see, that was alcohol involved.
Absolutely.
So that don't count, my lover. Shit. Let's be real. The dumber you make people, this is why you have conflicts all over the world. The education level of the populace, like we have in our Constitution, like things like Adams and the rest of it, a educated populace is the only way we want to keep this republic. Well, The Republicans figure we can dumb everybody down, go to oligarchy, and go back to the 1700s where the rich people pick their senators and governors, and
the Republicans actually talk about, you know, one of the things they want to do if they ever get their Article 5 convention, Lamar, their convention of the states, which they are perilously close to being able to do, one of the things they want to go back to doing is having the state legislatures choose the senators instead of having the hoi polloi voting for them. But I tell you what, I got to ring off because I got people trying to get into the program. But yeah. It has been a magnificent conversation. I really appreciate you hanging on for so long.
Let me shoot this in. The Senate.
Go ahead.
To vote for our governors and senators. Everybody speaks about they know the garbage. Get the book and read, people. It may give you a headache, but read. Well, okay, Bob, I'll let you get to the other callers.
All right. Thanks, Lamar. You have a good evening, man. Thanks for your input. I appreciate it.
You too, dude.
Bye now. Our buddy Silent R. Lamar calling from somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area. We got about 30 minutes to go in the program. That means the fundraising goal is still at $160. I'm going straight over to the phones, back to the L.A. area, as a matter of fact, in just a moment. Let me share a couple of notes beforehand. From Steve on the Gulf Coast. Wow. Not in China. Must have snuck over here, huh? Enjoy those white sand beaches, Steve. Bob, if social media hasn't already found fault with Trump lecturing and sucking up to the Boy Scouts in what is his usual and disgusting fashion, then I, for one, wouldn't be betting on very many of those parents having too much problem with the whole sordid affair. Of course, I'm not a betting sort. And really, did you expect anything else? No. The minute it was announced that he was going to speak to the Scouts, I knew exactly what it was going to be. It was going to be what every other damn speech he makes is, okay? Just that's what it was going to be. But if I knew that, that means the Scouting leadership had to know that, and they at least nominally have rules they're supposed to follow, because after all, they're helping to mold young minds and bodies, right? And they just shit all over their own rules. Yeah. Thank you, Judith. We are now down to 140 to go. I really appreciate it, Judith. I appreciate it very, very much as we get toward the end of this here month. Thank you. It'd be real nice, like I said, to stay out of the hole before we hit the midweek mark. By the way, I got a little science education courtesy of ASA. I said geosynchronous orbit when I was talking about the satellite insurance, which was real. At the risk of being a bit anal, ASA says, the geostationary satellites are at 22,300 miles above the Earth's equator. The first launch started in 1963. I can remember the 1964 Olympics, Tokyo, utilizing satellite link for some live coverage. They're still out there. However, the early satellites were low Earth elliptical orbits, LEO. In 1957, the Sputnik 1 perigee was 139 miles and apogee at 590 miles. It lasted 3 months with 1,440 orbits with a period of about 96 minutes. This created the fear you were speaking of. Most later LEO satellites were several times higher and are still out there. For example, Telstar 1 and 2 are among the great junkyard in the sky. In the early 1960s, I recall viewing a low polar orbiting satellite. These were developed for weather observation. Very useful. Yep. But it was enough to make folks, enterprising free marketeers, a little bit of folding money, right? Yeah. And before I do go back to the phones, a little something further from ASA. This isn't Brother Deacon ASA. We're working on a fraternity of ASA too. Subject line: religious fervor. As much as I like Jimmy Carter personally, his born again talk, along with his sister's Larry Flint sideshow, may have set the stage for the religious political ramp-up that Reagan capitalized on. It was certainly part of it. Ruth Carter Stapleton, I believe, is who Ace is referring to. And, of course, he was a Sunday school teacher. But look, by 1980, that didn't matter to the Republicans anymore. And Jerry Falwell was out there working on his first million or two. And he went after Jimmy Carter as if he was a goddamn Zoroastrian. So there's that, too. Thanks, Asa. Now, one last thing, because I found a bargain. You know, I mentioned from time to time that I really hope everybody who does business with Amazon will at least make doing that business count. When you buy something from Amazon, do it through Smile, S-M-I-L-E, .amazon.com. When you do that and you signed into your account, you can nominate a charity to receive a portion of the proceeds of your sale. And yes, it's minuscule, but if we got a whole shit ton of people doing this, it would turn into real, you know, walking around money to do things like pay salaries and or help pay salaries or help pay the mortgage or whatever. Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch is one of the listed charities at smile.amazon.com. So when you buy stuff from Amazon, and we all do just about, do it through smile.amazon.com and use and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch to be the recipient of your kind donations. That having been said, I don't often do this, but I want to encourage everybody out there, because it is dirt cheap. For $2.45 on Amazon Kindle, you can get a book, a 1962 book by a man named Harry Caudill, that remains the single most brilliant expression of the whys and wherefores of Appalachia's problems. The name of the book is Night Comes to the Cumberland. It is brilliantly written, beautifully written, heartbreakingly written. J.D. Vance, the right-wing darling of the Appalachia fetish at present, couldn't touch Harry Caudill. I mean, he wouldn't be fit. He's not fit to carry Harry Caudill's fountain pen. This is and remains the single best book about the social dynamic, the cultural dynamic, the political dynamic of Appalachia. Night Comes to the Cumberland. And just by way of sharing, I've read it, I don't know how many times I've read it, but let me see. Now again, this is 1962. John Kennedy is still alive. The mountaineer can present no enigma to a world which is interested enough to look with sympathy into the forces which have made him. And look we must, because with his fruitful wife and brood of untamed children, he presents a problem to the nation which is many-faceted and which will deepen in complexity during the ensuing decades. As the nation moves toward the challenges of a new century in a world ringing with change, 1962 again. Amazing. It cannot afford to leave huge islands of its own population behind, stranded and ignored. Idleness and waste are antipathetic to progress and growth, and unless the Cumberland Plateau is to remain an anchor dragging behind the rest of America, it and the rest of Southern Appalachians must be rescued while there is yet time. How about that? Takes a lot for something to be relevant from 1962 all the way to 2017. Night Comes to the Cumberland, Amazon Kindle, $2.45. You'll probably wind up thanking me. And over to the Skype line and somewhere in L.A. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I heard you've been looking for me.
I've been looking for you. I've been worried about you. We were about to put you on a milk carton.
I'm here. I just got behind in school. Well, one thing, I had to move out of my office because, you know, Will moved it with us. So he took over my office. So I'm in, Jen and I have been sharing space. It is kind of hard to lay on the phone talking to you guys and being on the Skype line when I had to share space with the wife. She doesn't cotton well to me on the phone when she's trying to work and I'm trying to work. And it's been interesting.
Sounds like.
I kept going to, yeah. So it's
but you had a birthday.
You know. Yes, I had a birthday, and we spent it in Vegas, which was fun. I came back with less money than I left with, but you know, it was a good time was having. Went and saw the Beatles love show, Cirque du Soleil. It was brilliant, and I didn't realize just how many Beatles songs I knew that I didn't even realize were Beatles songs. Isn't that a hoot? I was like, wow, that's a Beatles song? Really? That's a Beatles song? Okay.
Hey, that was good preparation for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes, it was. And speaking of which, I actually went and saw a taping of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And oh my God. So I'm watching, you know, the studio. It seems so much bigger when you're watching it on TV than when you're actually in the audience. But some of the questions, they have this part when if there's time during the show when they bring people out into the audience, from the audience to answer questions. Of course, I didn't get picked. But there was one question. During the World War II, what bowl game was canceled because they were afraid of Japanese invasion and moved to whatever state, you know.
Rose Bowl.
And the woman said, right. Of course it was the Rose Bowl. This woman said, if I get this wrong, my husband's going to be so mad. And she says, the Sugar Bowl. And there was this audible groan in the audience, and everybody's like, really? And of course she gets the question wrong, and then another audience member came out. And it was a question about, I forget how the question was worded, but the answer was cannoli. It was something about Italian for this stuffed dessert, you know, with cream and stuff like that. And the woman said gelato.
Really? Not cannoli?
And I'm thinking,
wait. So she was apparently the only woman who has never seen The Godfather? Leave the gun, take the cannoli?
Yes, and the only thing I was thinking of was leave the gun, take the cannoli. She said gelato.
Did they drag you out screaming, Tracy, did they drag you out screaming, dumbass?
it was bad, because I was like, I was in the audience, like, shaking my head going, oh my fucking God. So, it was so funny, because I have to say, the guy, Chris Harrison, who's the host of the show, he is, I don't know how he does it, Bob, that he keeps this face, that he wants, because he has to keep a straight face. He can't break face and give away that you're a complete and total idiot, because, you know, he can't give away that you're answering the question wrong at any given time. And I'm going, how does he do this? Because but she actually came up, because at first she said gelato, and then she's like, oh, wait, no, maybe it's cannoli. And
but aren't they multiple choice questions? Now, hold on.
Yes, there's multiple choice, but you have to, you can say, she said, first she said E or whatever for gelato, or D, gelato. And then she didn't say final answer, because you can say A, B, C, or D. But until you say final answer, that's when you're
married to it. Yeah,
you're locked in. And then something kicked in and said, okay, no, gelato is not the answer. I better say cannoli. And like I said, and the person that clicked in my head is, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Ta-da!
I've been down there. Ta-da!
But it, watching, you know, watching the show. Oh, and here's the best one, because you know you answer a series of questions, and you have two banking. You know, you have at one point you answer up to $5,000, and you can leave what you know that money is safe, and up to $50,000, and that money is safe. So there is this kid, he was doing well. He had got up to the, I think it was like the $3,000 question. And Chris Harrison is also the host of Bachelor and Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. Don't ask me why I know this.
Busy okay, man.
I watched the show. Yeah, busy man, very rich man, apparently. So the question was, there's the new Bachelorette is the first African-American Bachelorette. And it's like, and so the question was, Rachel, whatever her last name is the first, you know, what, you know, on Bachelorette. And it's, you know, first person to be divorced with kids, blah, 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 or African-American. And the guy's like, well, Chris, don't hold this against me. I don't watch your show. And he's like, no big deal, you know. And he's like, but I have friends who watch it. Now, he has Lifeline. So everybody in the audience, you know, is picking up the little clicker, just, you know, because we're thinking he's going to ask, you know, I don't know this answer, so I'm going to ask the audience, right? He doesn't ask the audience. He just guesses. And he guesses wrong. And Chris Harrison's like, wow, you really don't watch the show. But he's like, why would you not ask the audience? Because everybody in the audience knew, or a strong majority of the audience knew that the new girl on The Bachelorette is black. And he didn't even ask. And he's the first time I've watched the show that nobody's gone home with nothing. Usually everybody makes it to at least a $5,000 question. But he, you know, went home with no money. I was just like, why? Or your plus one. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my God, really? It's just. But the one question that stumped me is it was the $50,000 question. If this lady had gotten up to $30,000, so the next question was the $50,000 question. And I did not know this answer. And maybe you know this because you're a history guy. When Walter Cronkite announced what time that John F. Kennedy had died. At what time was it at? And this time, Central Time, did Walter Cronkite, with a tear in his eye, announce that John F. Kennedy had died? Do you know the answer? It's either 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2:45, 11:45, 4:15, or something other time.
It was 1 something Central, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 1 p.m. I didn't know that answer. See, if you had been my plus one, then I would have walked. It would have been the $50,000 question. Ta-da! She didn't know the answer, and her plus one didn't know the answer, so they walked away with 30 grand.
Oh, damn! Only 30 grand.
Yeah, here's another one. And here was when I was screaming. So the question was, who was elected the head of the Democratic of the DNC? It was Tom. Of course, we know that you and
Tom,
I know the answer.
Tom Perez, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, it was Tom Perez.
But they would. But wait. They would have expected. It's Tom Perez, but let's be clear about something, Tracy. They would have accepted establishment shill.
They would not. Establishment shill was not on there, Bob. And I thought about, I was looking for establishment shill. That wasn't one of the choices. It was, okay, here's the choices. Rick Perry, which I was screaming.
Jesus Christ, was this like a $500 question or something?
No, this was like the $20,000 question.
You're shitting me.
No, I take it back. It was $30,000 question. Rick Perry, Tom Perez, Name somebody else. Somebody else. A couple of other.
Howard Dean. Hillary Clinton.
Howard Dean. It was the Hood. Wait. Oh, shit. There were two other names. There was what? Reich. Some Reich? Reich? Oh, fuck. There was two other names. But, of course, we know Rick Perry wasn't one of them. But there was two other names. And they didn't know. But the guy was saying Rick Perry. And I'm screaming, is that fucking Rick Perry? You...
Well, but see, that was some Republican that wanted her to fail.
Right, right. And so, but they... And fortunately, because the guy kept saying Rick Perry. And I'm like, because he had no more lifelines, and he had gotten up to $20,000. Fortunately, they walked away with the money. They answered the wrong... They picked... Thank God they didn't pick Rick Perry. Who's Reich? Is it Reich?
Robert Reich. That would have been a good.
Yeah, point. Robert Reich. Yeah, that's who they picked. And I'm like, who is Robert Reich? Why does that name sound familiar?
Former labor secretary under Bill Clinton. One of the better progressive thinkers out there.
Right, Robert Reich and Tom Perez, and there was somebody else, and Rick Perry, but I can't think of the fourth one. And I mean, but I'm like, because it was a former labor secretary, because it said this former labor secretary is now was voted head of the DNC in 2017. And so, blah, blah, blah. And so, they chose him, and I'm like, not right. So they walked away with $5,000, and I'm like, and I'm trying, and you can't scream out because you get in trouble. But I'm saying, you know, if you don't know the answer and your plus one doesn't know the answer, walk away with 20. They could have walked away with 20 grand. And, you know, to me, I'm walking away with $20,000. You know what I'm saying? Oh, before I forget, so because I know you guys have covered this because I've been gone for a long time. And this is what they were talking about on the news because I left Thursday night, Friday morning. Now, riddle me this, Batman. Explain to me why, the Orange Wonder, explain to me how he kept saying, if Jeff Sessions was going to recuse himself, why would I would not have picked him from the Russian investigation. Well, when you picked him for Attorney General Dimwit, there was no such thing as a Russian investigation. Am I wrong in that, Bob? I'm confused.
I don't think you're confused at all. I don't think you're wrong.
Because I know you guys talked about this, but because I wanted so badly, because I was screaming. I'm like, when I kept hearing this, it's like, wait a second. How can you get mad at him from recusing himself and say that you wouldn't have picked him as your attorney general when you picked him as attorney general, there was no such thing as the Russian investigation? Isn't that kind of something?
Isn't that kind of an admission of guilt?
Yes. Isn't that, there's something that, there's something in my critical thinking that there's missing the middle. Something, there's something in that argument. Help me out here. There's something wrong with that argument, isn't there?
Look, he constantly admits his guilt. How many times has he talked about the pee-pee tape when nobody was asking him about the pee-pee tape? Good morning, Mr. President.
Right.
There is no pee-pee tape, I swear.
Nobody asked you about the pee-pee tape. Nobody asked you, you know, about how many people were at the meeting with, you know, with Jared and your son and all this. But then there's a tape of you at a birthday party with all these people that you said you never met. right? I mean, it's like, but he's still president. But
oh, and by the way, know, we have a new nickname for him. They keep springing up. This courtesy of Arnold. New Trump nickname, everybody. Wait a minute. This gets a preparatory cowbell. Sleaze whiz.
Nice. Instead of cheese whiz. See, the things that the ensemble comes up with. I just have to say that I've missed you guys so very much. It's just been so busy, so crazy, and I just haven't had a chance to do anything but homework, and I was sick. I don't know if I was having a really bad reaction to my medication, but I would go to bed. I would get up. I would go to bed at night and just wake up and throwing up. That was fun. The one good thing about it, it made me lose weight, so that was fun, but that's the only good thing that... Speaking of that weight, how's your stomach? Is anything, have you gotten any better?
No better, no worse. I mean, I'm just kind of babying it along. I take a little taste of this here and a little taste of that there. Well, see, you don't know. Maybe you didn't see on Facebook. And you've been away and stuff. Agnes did this wonderful thing for me.
What did Agnes do? I love me some Agnes.
Oh, all the world does. You know, it's amazing. She walks back here and says hi, and I get 30 emails going, "Hi, Agnes." Well, she's a bargain hunter. And I didn't even know this existed, but she went on the Facebook Marketplace. And you know how I've been talking about I want one of those, because the rusty old smoker is a rusty old smoker and it's all rusted out. And, you know, me without being able to, no, it's terrible. It's been awful. I can't do anything, you know, cooking outside. Well, I've been looking longingly at those Acorn cookers.
Yes.
Which roll in about $290. She found me one for less than half price, new in the box. Still taped up. And presented it to me when I got home from DC.
Did your face crack? You were grinning so hard.
I was plumb busted. And in celebration, It takes a little learning, but in celebration this past weekend, I found a Boston butt on manager's special, and the pictures are on Facebook. I seasoned that little bastard, and I brined it, and I started smoking it on Saturday and finished on Sunday.
Oh my God!
And it fell apart at the touch of a fork, and that sort of blade-shaped bone that's in one of them, the meat had shrunken back off of it, and I just grabbed it with my thumb and my index finger and gave a little tug, and that bone just slid out.
Nice.
And I made like 2 quarts of the not at all famous Northwest Alabama fiery hot pool hall slaw, and we had barbecues and slaw. And to answer your question, I live to tell the tale.
See, well, this past weekend was Weight Watchers be damned. We started the weekend off at Cracker Barrel, because this Cracker Barrel is in Vegas now. We finished the weekend off last night at this seafood restaurant in Harris. Jen had deep fried, batter fried prawns. I had grilled lobster tails, crab legs with garlic mashed potatoes and grilled asparagus. It was the eating weekend. I don't even want to know what I weigh this week. I don't care, because it's like I've been so good, and it, you know, I'm like, well, you know what? It happens. I was in Vegas. What are you going to do? you know, my diet. You know, it was Vegas. I mean, there was food everywhere. That's the thing, though. I mean, the thing is, there's no such thing as portion control in Vegas. And the hotel was nice. We stayed, you know, the whole weekend was fun. I enjoyed it. And then in the few months we'll be going on our cruise, and you know, whatever, it is what it is. But oh, put me down for $20 toward the fundraising. Do a $20.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you, Tracy. That knocks us down to $120 to go. Thank you very kindly. And we are slap out of time. I just got a note from Steve from Georgia, Stan, telling me that time is up.
Okay, well,
because see, I get wrapped up in conversation and I quit looking at the clock.
Well, you know, I have a tendency to do that. So anyway, I love you guys, miss you guys, and I promise not to stay away so long again next time.
Well, if you got to be away, just wrap the little note around the carrier pigeon's leg and send him flying away. Just let us know that you haven't slid off the edge of the earth or anything.
Yes, sir, I promise.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Bob.
You have a lovely evening. Later. Bye now.
You too.
Bye. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, wrapping up the evening. So we'll finish the evening with $120 to go fundraising. That means tomorrow will be $360, depending on what the overnight crew does. Hopefully it will knock it down some. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve from Georgia, Stan, Intrepid Utility chat room moderator. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.